Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Do you like movies? Do you into movies? Like, you just read your Bible and listen to worship music? So every now and then you can watch a movie. So back in 1997, there was a movie that came out, and it grossed over $2.1 billion, and it's still counting today, and it actually was nominated for 14 Academy Awards. They wound up winning 11, which ties for the most of all time. And so that movie was, of course, Titanic. I'm not sure if you've seen that before. I have not seen it. So I'm trying to research it. Look at it. Now you gasp at that, right? But so I have not seen Titanic, but I was researching it a little bit and come to find out, Jack, who's played by Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, it was supposed to, they actually were casting Tom Cruise for that part. And get this, Rose, who was played by, who's that? Kate Winslet. And it was supposed to, they actually considered Madonna to play that part. Exactly, you know? And so kind of crazy. And you know what's amazing? It cost $200 million to produce this film. The Titanic, the ship, only cost $7.5 million. So kind of crazy, you know, that type of thing. But if you haven't seen the movie, this won't make any sense to you, but I can try and paint a picture that Jack and Rose are on the bow, the front of this the great Titanic as it's racing through the seas, and the ocean breeze is running through her hair. And do you remember Jack takes her out to the very tip to the bow, and then he says this. He says, "Close your eyes," and then he says these words, "Do you trust me?" And he lifts her up, and the breeze and the wind's flowing in the hair, right? For the record, ladies, especially you single ladies, I'm going to just give you some. If any young man ever says, "Do you trust me?" your answer is always no. All right? Are we good? Are we good? I'm just trying to help everybody. Daddy of daughters, okay? So the answer is always no. However, if God is asking you that question, can I just encourage you? Just lay down your yes. Because what we're going to talk about, we're going to see the temptation of Jesus this morning. And listen, if Jesus, God in the flesh, can be tempted and tested in his life, I think I got a pretty good bet that you and I could be tested and tempted as well. And so with that, here's what you need to know. Through every test, trial, and temptation, God's wanting you to answer one question. Do you trust me? I don't care what you're going through. The question is always the same. Do you trust me? And so I want us to see that this morning. And so, Lord, I ask for grace this morning as we get into your word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. But before we do, I need to recap. Last week we had the baptism of Jesus Christ. And if you remember, he was baptized in the Jordan. I actually have a picture. I don't know if we have it. Clark, do we have the picture of the baptism where I was baptizing? So this is the Jordan River. I had a chance to baptize some people. Do you believe how nasty that water looks? So first I thought my pastor, he says, "Adam, you can do all the baptisms." I thought he was honoring me until I saw the water. And then I'm like, "Oh, you just don't want to get in that." So we got to dunk some people in there. I promise you the water will be slightly cleaner today when we baptize you. So it might be colder, though, just FYI. But remember, the heavens open up, and the Spirit descends on Christ, and we hear the audible voice of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so what we're going to read about today is immediately following that moment, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to drive Jesus out into the wilderness to be tested or tempted. And so here we are in Luke chapter 4. I'll start in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry." So real quick, I just want to just point out a couple things. I pointed out to you in the past that numbers are significant in the scriptures, and so the number 40 is actually used for the number of probation or trial period. Okay, it's a period of testing. And so 146 times in your Bible, you're going to see the number 40 pop up. And I love that because it's like real life, that you're in your life, you're going to go walk through a series of tests and trials in your life. And if you think otherwise, here's what I know. You're extremely frustrated because your life is not going smooth and up and to the right, because we live in a broken, fallen world. And so 146 times, and so we're going to see that, remember that God's people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that Moses, to his probation period, before he could be the great deliverer of God's people, 40 years in the wilderness. Jonah, he preached to the people of Nineveh for 40 days to repent, their trial period, in order to turn back to God. And so the Greek word for temptation and testing, it's actually the same word, but depending on what the individual is wanting to accomplish determines how you interpret the word in English. So if you want to destroy something, then what you're doing is you're tempting them for evil. But if you want to test something, you're trying to strengthen it, all right? And so that would be the difference in the way it's... and so what you're going to see, two things are taking place. For every trial, every test you walk through, that Satan is trying to destroy you, but God is trying to deploy you, all right? He's trying to launch you out into your next level or into your destiny. And so one other thing we got to know, and then we'll get back into Luke 4, is this. Do you know that God can be well pleased with you and you still go through a season of wilderness, all right? He can be pleased with you. It's not God's wrath, but rather God is wanting to grow you in himself, all right? It will always result, if you will trust him, in God's glory and your good every time. So let's go back. Luke 4, let me pick it up in verse 3. I'm going to read straight through 15, so don't lose me, all right? Here we go. The devil said to him, so said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. All right, so Jesus, 40 days of fasting, he's hungry, and so he's going to tempt him by changing stone to bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Now we got the devil quoting scripture, okay? He says, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And here's what I need you to see. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and report about him went around to the surrounding county. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. You see that? Jesus goes through the test, and now he comes back full of power, full of the Spirit, and God is glorified, and he's launched out into his mission. And so that's the purposes behind tests and trials. And so every test we take, remember, it's asking the same question. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And here's what I wanted us to see and remind us of. Do you know that humanity, that we are unique in the creative order above all the other creation? Because I don't know if you know, like if you remember the creation narrative where God just creates and things just begin to exist, but God forms the man, humanity. He gets down and he forms him from the dust. He breathes the breath of life. But here's what's different. Why? He designs man and woman different. Why? Because he wants to communicate with us. In the other creation, God doesn't say, hey, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. But he does to us. He speaks to humanity. We've been designed to have communication with God. The rest of the creation has not. God doesn't talk to the birds. God doesn't talk to the whales, but he talks to you. I know it's cute that you talk to little Bootsy and that kind of thing, but God ain't into that. He's into talking to you, human beings, as image bearers of God. And so here's what we see. Isn't it amazing that the devil, Satan, is going to attack the very things that we alone have been created to receive, the Word of God. And so you'll see this over and over again. Did God say? And then that should remind you of the Garden of Eden. Did God really say you'll die? You won't surely die. And how does he tempt Jesus? If you be the Son of God. Well, listen, fool, God just said, hey, this is my kid. I'm really pleased with him. All right? And so he comes immediately for the word of God. Here's one of the ways that Satan will tempt you and I. And here's the deal. The scripture would say this, that we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, he just tries the same thing over and over and over. So we can know how he's coming. And here's what he's going to do is that he's going to try and tempt you by your flesh. And by that, I don't mean your skin or anything like that. See, the flesh is this, that part of your heart and mine that refuses to bow the knee to God. Okay? Sometimes you'll hear church speak is this, we're not like the world. And God doesn't mean the globe. He just means that part of culture that just says, God, no thank you. I know better than you. And so he wants to guard us from that, the ways of the world. 1 John 2:15-17, it won't be up on the screen, but it won't be there, Clark. But here's what I want to remind you of what it says. So if you know who John is, he is the apostle of love. Everything with John is just love, love, love. In his epistle, 1 John, he uses the word love 44 times. There's only 5 chapters in the book. So he's just like love, love, love. Like every other word is love. And so God, he's just talking about the love of God and love for God's people and blah, blah, blah. Until he says one time, he says this, don't love. And you know what he says? He says, don't love this world. And then he begins to define what it looks like for us. And he says this, that the world can be marked by this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And what you're going to see is this, Satan is going to come for you the same exact way. If I could just say it a little different, he's going to come for this, for your appetites, for your worship, and for your lordship. And those are the 3 points that we'll touch on today. So number one, Satan will come for your appetites. And so you remember he did that with Jesus, didn't he? He says, hey, I know you're hungry and all that. Your desire is to eat. So why don't you just say, forget you, God, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Why don't you be led by your feelings, your urges, or your appetites? And so if Satan came for Jesus that way, he's definitely coming for you that way. He's coming for me that way. So once again, 2006, another Academy Award winning film you may have heard of. And if you have not seen this movie, you need to go see it. It will absolutely change your life. And of course, I'm talking about Nacho Libre. Have you seen it? Nacho Libre, played by Jack Black. And in Nacho Libre, I think we got a picture of it, Clark. And so you can remember, so Jack Black, he plays Ignacio, a monk who serves in an orphanage. And daily he's serving up this pile of slop that he puts on the kids' trays. And finally one of the little boys goes, Ignacio, couldn't we just have a salad or something sometime? And Ignacio is trying to encourage the kid, no, but today it's especially delicious. He says that. And so he goes, see, look, and he tries it, and it disgusts him so bad, he's got a gag reflex, and he literally blows it out his face afterwards, which is, how he did not get an Academy Award for that is beyond me, okay? But here's what, I point that out to say this, is there is this idea the world is going to peddle a way to do life, and they're going to say it's delicious, it's wonderful, it's satisfying, until you put it inside of your mouth. And it may taste good for a minute, but I promise you, eventually, you'll vomit that thing out. It's like the scripture says that a dog returns to his vomit. And listen, can I just tell you, I've been there before. Where it's something, I knew it wasn't good for me, and I still did it anyways. I felt guilt and shame, but it took a little bit while longer until like a dog to his vomit. It's like, well, it didn't satisfy the first time. Maybe I'll do it again, right? And so that can tend to be what happened. Hollywood, despite the message they try to peddle, when they try to eat their own, the way they say to do life, it's repulsive to them. So if you guys remember, CBS had its cash cow. I think this thing was nominated for like 46 Emmys. Two and a Half Men, You guys remember this show? I mean, it was on forever. Charlie Sheen, he actually played this single crazy bachelor party guy, Charlie Harper. But then do you remember what happened to Charlie Sheen? Kind of went insane for like a couple years and did all this stuff. And then, but when Charlie Sheen started living like Charlie Harper, what did CBS do? They canned him. They fired him. Why? Because, hey, it's real cute and all that until you have to experience. And they're like, no, thank you. And so here they are. They're peddling this message, but they don't want it for themselves. And so you can see it's busted. It doesn't work. And so we can't be led by our urges and by our feelings and by our appetites. They're not intrinsically wrong. They're just not designed to lead your life, because they'll lead you down a path that it'll grow increasingly darker and darker as you go. There's a guy, Ravi Zacharias. Have you heard of this guy? Brilliant, brilliant dude. I got to sit in a class with him in Manhattan, and I'm like, this is the most brilliant dude I've ever met in my life. And so he says this. He says that this generation listens with its eyes and thinks with its feelings. And here's the reality. And so we have a generation now that their feelings trump everything, including the Word of God, and it's killing us. And so you can't be led by your appetites or your emotions. So the question is this: can you trust God with your appetites, with your desires? Can you trust He wants to lead you into life and life abundant? Here's the next thing is this: can you trust God with your worship? And so, do you remember the Satan? Here's the thing. I give in so easy at times to temptation. That Satan goes to Jesus, hey, all chips in. I will give you everything there is if you just fall down and worship me. And yet Jesus is just unmoved. And so you got to ask yourself, so what are you worshiping? What is it in your life that your life orbits that's central to you? And so what do you think about? What do you talk about? That's probably the object of your worship. And so don't think singing. So my wife and I, we were on a red-eye flight from the West Coast. And so kind of late at night, it was during baseball season. And so the Major League Baseball playoffs were going on. And they had kind of the DirecTV on the plane. And my wife and I were like, we're shutting her down, man. We're going to go to sleep. So we're trying to sleep, but there's a dude three rows back on the opposite side of the aisle, he's watching the game. And so this fool is just like, yes, yes, he's screaming and yelling. And so we're trying to just kind of like let it roll for a little bit until my wife, she's laying on my shoulder and she kind of just looks at me and she gave me that look like, are you going to handle this? Right? Because I will if you don't, right? And so I was like, oh, so I prayed real quick. I was like, God, don't let him be bigger than me, right? So I turn around, I look to the dude, I'm like, bro, you know, like that. And he's like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. So he's got his thing on. So we're like, snuggle back down, do this. And 2 seconds later, yeah, yeah, like that. I give him the look again, and he's like, oh, wow, sorry, sorry. What happens? What? See, this is something that his life orbits sports, and he just can't control himself. And so a lot of times we worship crazy, stupid stuff with our life. And here's what you need to, you got to find out what is central for you. Because if anything other than God is there, one of three things will happen. Whatever you worship will crush you, it'll control you, or it'll consume you. And I promise you that. I'll prove it to you. Like some people worship people, worship a guy, worship a girl. And so here's what inevitably happens. If you try to take a human being and make them God, here's what you'll do. You will crush them under the weight of having to be God. And so you got a spouse, you found the one, and you try to make them God. You will crush them with the expectation of trying to fulfill you and make you happy. They can't do it. They're not designed for it. And here's what else will happen. If your spouse is supposed to be God to you, here's what I know. You're pretty frustrated, and you're fighting a lot. Okay, that's what will happen. And listen, you can put any human being in there. Can I tell you this? Moms, you need to hear this. You put your babies in there, you put your kid and make them central, here's what's going to happen. Your kid's going to grow up and hate you, and you have ill-prepared them for life because you told them they're God, and guess what? They're not. And then they're going to get out in the world and be like, how come this is not, why is this so hard? Why aren't people worshiping me and making much of me, all right? So that's people. They weren't designed to be there. Some people worship money or success, and they make that central and ultimate in their life. And so here's what will happen. If you make money, success, or your career God, here's what you'll do. You will sacrifice everything on that altar. So you'll sacrifice your health. You'll sacrifice your family. You'll sacrifice your marriage. You'll sacrifice your faith on the altar of making more money and more success. And here's the ironic thing. And listen, and here's what I know about human nature. We all know it's not going to satisfy you, even if you get it. But most of us aren't going to get it, so we don't believe it. Isn't that true? Come on, I'll tell you, Tom Brady, I've used him, he's the quarterback of the evil empire, right? The New England Patriots. That was a good time, Brent, for you to say amen to that, all right? We got, the evil empire, the dude has made more money than all of us put together, and so he's married to a supermodel who, by the way, is worth three times what he's worth. And here's what he said. They want to know, why are you still so motivated, so driven? And here's his answer. Surely there must be more than this. I mean, give me a break. I'll keep it in the football. Remember Aaron Rodgers? Right after he won the MVP of the Super Bowl and they won the Super Bowl, here's what he said to himself. This is an ESPN article. He says, man, I hope this isn't all I do. So do you get all that? So maybe you're not the athlete. Let me give you one more. The trifecta here this morning is, let me give you Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, Canadian, your people, honey. Jim Carrey at one point was commanding $25 million a show, net worth of $150 million, and he says this, I guess just getting to the place where you have everything everybody has ever desired and realizing you're still unhappy and that you can still be unhappy is a shock when you have accomplished everything you ever dreamt of and more, and then you realize, my gosh, it's not about this. And I wish for everyone to be able to accomplish those things so they can see that that's true. And so here's what you see. It just doesn't satisfy. And here's how about some people they'll worship pleasure. Pleasure, hedonism. They're just going to chase pleasure at all costs. And here's the thing. Even sociologists know this isn't true. Like, have you ever heard of the pleasure paradox? That if you try to pursue pleasure, you'll never get it. It'll slide through your, it's like trying to hold water. It'll slide through your fingers. See, because pleasure is 9 times out of 10, it's actually a byproduct of pursuing and chasing something else. And so how many times have we seen this? Man, people pursue, they pursue pleasure, drugs, sex, alcohol, and they consume it because it's never enough until what happens? They're consumed. That's the trap. That's the temptation. And so I want to ask you, can you trust God? Can you trust Him to be central in your life? And here's the last one is your lordship. Your lordship. Do you remember what Satan says? Hey, if you're God and all, why don't you throw yourself down because God's got to take care of you? And I love this. Here's the question that I want you to answer as well as this. Do you exist for God, or does God exist for you? Like, it can be a painful the answer you come to. So how about this? So here, this might help you come to a conclusion. So for prayer, when you pray, is prayer a bell that you ring so God can fetch something for you? Or is prayer the way you communicate and you commune with God? And so you can see those are different things. I was actually alarmed because I was like, man, God, I ask you for a lot of stuff, you know, that type of thing. And so so do you exist for God or does God exist for you? And here's what I want to save us from is frustration. Because if you think that God exists for you, you're going to be a frustrated person. You're going to be quoting scripture and doing all kinds of things and it's not working out the way you want, and you're going to shake your fist at God. But if you can get through your head that we exist for Him, So for example, we're taking the New York Jets, and Melissa's leading kind of the women. Sorry, I'm going to embarrass you guys. You shouldn't have come to church today. But so this is Brett and Melissa with the Jets, their family. Just want you guys to know we pray for you guys on a regular basis. So, but both the Jets' wives and the players, we're going through the book of Colossians. I'm making the men memorize this, Colossians 1, verse 16. And it says this, that all things were created by Him, through Him, and for Him. And so if we can just get that truth down, that you and I, we've been created for Him. So there's a guy, I do a confession every morning I confess certain things over my life. And it's not because I want to like make pretend things all of a sudden come to pass. I'm trying to align my life with the Word of God. And I start it with this one every time, because you know what? I want to be God at times. Like I want the world to be about me. And so I started every morning with Jesus is first place in my life. I exist to serve Him and to bring Him glory. And see, and I bow the right knee to God, and the left knee can be to whoever else you want. But I say the right knee for God Almighty, all right? But I need to remind myself that I exist to serve Him and to bring Him glory. So there's a New York Times bestseller. It was on the bestseller list for 90 weeks. The Purpose Driven Life. Have you read this one? Do you guys remember how it starts? It's not about you. And so that's what we got to get. And so do you trust God with your life? And so here's what I need to do. I'm going to land. This is going to be my last point, because I don't want to leave us. So just answer that question. Do you trust God? Amen. And let's leave. But we got to, I want us to be practical people and not just have a bunch of church speak. And so we notice, how did Jesus overcome the devil? He overcame Satan by what? He was quoting, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And so he takes the Word of God. The Bible would call it, it's the sword of the Spirit. He takes it out. But notice, he didn't say, here's what you don't do. Jesus says, "It's written." He didn't say, "Joel Osteen says, but Joyce Meyer says," right? We don't do that. Pastor Shino always says, we don't do that. See, you got to get the Word of God inside of you, and that's the way it becomes the sword of the Spirit. I've never seen a successful Christian that wasn't devouring the Word of God, and I've never seen a weak Christian that was devouring it. It's impossible. Do you want to win in the Christian life? Thank you. Yes, we want to win. Let's win in the Christian life, man. And Joshua's, God comes to Joshua and he says this, "You want to win?" He says, "Don't let this word depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. So that way you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success." And so it's so important that we do that. And so here's the last passage I want to read to you this morning. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And so here's something that I see in Christian circles sometimes, and I want us to avoid. Like the Word of God, it's not magic. You're not Harry Potter when you quote it, okay? That's not what we're trying to do. And so sometimes I'll see like men struggle with lust. And so they'll quote Job 31:1, right? "That I've made a covenant with myself not to look at a woman lustfully." Job 31:1, and they start quoting that stuff like it's magic and gonna do something. But I gotta tell you something, dude. If you don't get that word from just something you're saying, get it into your mind and have it drop down into your heart, it's useless to you. It's useless. So here's what you do. See, our words create a picture in our mind, and what we think about and meditate on, it drops down into our heart and it turns into belief. I'll show you this. We know this works in the negative all the time. So I remember I've shared this story before, but my daughter Cassie and I were foodies. So about 10 o'clock at night, these chocolate demons take over us, and so we need something. But Cassie was trying to keep it tight, you know. I'm like, "No, Daddy, we're gonna have a week, we're gonna eat good and none of that garbage." And I'm like, "Baby, are you sure you don't want one of those delicious frosty chocolate shakes? And we'll get that whipped cream that on top, and then we right a little bit in your mouth, that thing." And so she's like, "No, Daddy, I'm not gonna have it tonight." And so I go upstairs to bed, and I promise you, I'm not even tucked in the sheets yet, and I hear, the blender's going, right? All right, baby, what happened? A word created a thought in your mind, and it dropped down into your heart, and it created a desire or an action. And so we know that's how it works, but it works the same in reverse as well. And so pay attention to the life of your mind. We just read this, that the word of God, that we're to take thoughts captive in our mind. And so we read this, that there's arguments. That means false reasoning. Have you ever heard that voice inside of you? Like, I know the word says this, and I know I shouldn't do this, but then this false reasoning starts to bubble up in your mind. Sounds an awful lot to me, did God say? Are you really the Son of God? Right? All these doubts and this false reasoning. And then it says as well, we grab hold of lofty opinions. Anyone ever been guilty of thinking you're smarter than God? You know, I failed twice my New Jersey written driver's test, which my wife and kids never let me live that down. But sometimes I think I know I'm smarter than God, right? So we'll figure that out. And so what we do is we grab a hold of these things when they rise up, and here's what we do. We grab them, and then we throw them down, and what we do is we replace them with the Word of God. And so remember, when you speak something, it doesn't just sit there. In order to speak it, you need to think it. And so when you speak the Word of God out of your mouth, it begins to get in your head. And so then what we need to do is we need to meditate on it. We roll it around in our mind and think about it from different angles and different perspectives until finally we start to believe it, and belief bubbles up in our heart. And so that's where transformation of your life takes place. Romans 12 will say this, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And here's what happens as we renew our, we speak the word, we meditate and think the word, it starts to transform us. You know, Harvard is just coming to this realization that Harvard researcher Sarah Lazarus, she says this, she's a neuroscientist. So just think this, smarter than us. And she says this, that if you'll take 20 minutes a day for 8 weeks and you think on something, you speak something and think on it, it literally changes the shape of your brain. It's called the neuroplasticity of your brain, and you change the way your brain looks on imaging and the way it functions. You're transforming yourself by the Word of God. And last story, because we got to get to baptisms, is this. So I'm gonna be transparent with you. So many of you guys, I told you that my gym in Caldwell shut down. It went home to be with the Lord. So I have to get a new gym membership at another sports club in Livingston. So I've been kind of going there, checking that out. Here's what I found out. New gym with new temptations. Is this okay? All right? So many people think, man, because I'm a pastor, you know I'm still a guy, right? I'm still a dude. And so listen, there's things that some of these workout outfits, I'm like, what in the world, you know? And so I'm having to find myself, guard my mind and my eyes, what I look at. And so I find myself bouncing. But then I've learned enough to know when I start getting these thoughts shooting into my head as these scantily clad women are walking around the gym, I've learned to confess the Word of God over my life. And so I start to confess Proverbs 5 over my life that says this, hey, to rejoice with the wife of your youth and let her breast satisfy you always. And so I am confessing that, meditating on that. And if you're offended this morning, I'm just reading the Bible to you, okay? And I listen to it over and over. And so something arises in my heart. And now guess what? Something that was meant to destroy my marriage has now strengthened my marriage. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.